nā koutou katoa, nau mai rā ki te pai o te Waonui, ko Mani Dunlop ahau.
Ko Miriana Johnson ahau.
And coming up on te Waonui, Māori communities respond to COVID-19 and justice advocates seek an urgent Waitangi Tribunal hearing on the police armed response teams.
But first, Māori businesses hit by the coronavirus say the government's $12 billion relief package will save whānau livelihoods. Those in the primary sector and tourism are under heavy pressure, with some wasting no time in applying for the new support. Our Māori news correspondent, Limarama McLaughlin, reports.
The past 5 weeks has been a struggle for Pomeroy Logging in Whanganui. The forestry contractors were abruptly told to stop production last month. Director Jenny Pomeroy says they've had to cut staff hours right back and even let two workers go.
Laying guys off is awful because I know that they've all got families and they've all got bills to pay, and it's just awful having to say, look, we just don't have enough work to keep you all going. You know, some of them have had work that they could go on to in other industries, and one other guy, he really didn't. He was at a loss, but it was kind of one of those things where we had to just keep the bare minimum people to run the operation. We just didn't have any money up our sleeves.
So it was a huge relief when Mrs. Pomeroy saw the details of the rescue package. The new wage subsidy of $585 per week for full-time staff, a godsend.
I think it's great. I think it's really, really good because, I mean, I know we are definitely one of the crews or businesses that have been affected by more than 30% of our usual earnings. So that'll be us getting the wage subsidy, which will be a really big help. We might be able to get people back.
Photographers, Soldiers Road Portraits may have to cancel all their bookings for their nationwide tour next month. Co-founder Taniko Nordstrom says the business will take a further hit. She's in self-isolation after returning from Hawaii yesterday, but she's already applying for the wage subsidy.
I'm grateful for anything, and I understand that lots of other countries don't have that kind of assistance, and lots of other people are worried about their jobs as well. I make my own money, my own mahi, so without it, I am almost dependent, only dependent on what the government can provide me until I know more.
There are fears the virus could wipe $500 million off the Māori economy. The Federation of Māori Authorities Chair Tracy Hopapa likes the government's response, but she says Māori have poorer outcomes across the board and they need targeted help.
My expectation is that there would have been a more specific focus or comment from government with regard to how they propose to provide relief for Māori employment, to shore up Māori employment, to shore up Māori SMEs and ahi whenua.
On the East Coast, people burst into tears of relief when they heard about what's on offer. It's tough times in the region, where the downturn in exports to China has seen hundreds of forestry workers laid off, and support services there are in overdrive. This week's announcement also includes $500 million for the health sector. Public health academic Wiramu Manaia says Māori health providers must challenge DHBs on what they need.
Take control of what you know, because you know your people. You know what your people need and demand that that be met. Don't sit back and wait for it to be delivered. Get out there and make a noise and demand that it be delivered to you, you know, in the way that you want it to be delivered, because Māori know what Māori needs.
For Jenny Pomeroy, it's off to the accountant this morning to work out how to apply for the government relief, a process leaders hope will be simple enough so whānau in need don't miss out. Kōli Marama McLaughlin tēnei.
Māori health providers are setting up health phone lines and isolation rooms in case COVID-19 spreads to their communities. They say Māori are especially vulnerable to the virus because of higher rates of chronic illnesses, poorer quality housing and less access to primary healthcare services. Miriana Johnson reports.
Ngāti Ruanui is doing everything in its power to stop COVID-19 taking a hold in the Taranaki community of Hawera. Te runanga o Ngāti Ruanui, Kai Arataki, Debbie Ngāti Wepeka, has been making hand sanitizer to distribute to local families after stores in Hawera ran out on Monday morning. The runanga run a family healthcare practice which provides primary health services to over 9,000 people in the area. Ms Ngāti Wepeka says Ngāti Ruanui have set up an 0800 number that whānau can call for information, alongside setting up two isolation rooms for suspected cases.
Yeah, we've also been inundated with a lot of requests to help, a lot of names for volunteers, and how we will tautoko our kaumātua. So we've been taking names, and we've identified our vulnerable, including our kaumātua, and how we have a roster to be able to check for them. And this is all preparing in case of.
Director of Te Kōhao Health Clinic in Hamilton, Lady Turetia Moxon, says arming whānau with the right information is crucial to containing the outbreak.
What we will be doing is making sure that in our clinics that we've got proper signage and support lines where they can ring if they need help. So it's such a deadly virus that we really have to take it seriously. We can't carry on doing what was considered to be our normal.
She's worried about how coronavirus might affect the 9,000 Māori patients enrolled with them.
It's actually going to get worse for them because they'll get hit harder, and particularly during winter, they're in cold houses, money, income coming into the house, there's no food, there's all of those kinds of considerations.
University of Auckland senior lecturer in Māori health, Rhys Jones, is also concerned about the risk posed to Māori if they become infected.
Māori tend to have higher rates of chronic diseases that put you at higher risk of getting more serious, serious outcome from COVID-19. So things like heart disease, underlying lung diseases, diabetes.
Meanwhile, the Prime Minister has asked for indoor or outdoor gatherings of 500 or more people to be cancelled. This will likely affect upcoming Kapahaka regional competitions, which attract thousands of spectators. Already, Te Hui Ahurea Tūhoe has been cancelled. Up to 15,000 people were expected to attend the biannual festival in the Bay of Plenty community of Waimana this Easter weekend. Komediana Johnson, DNA. As we heard in that piece, some iwi and other Māori service providers have been taking the response to COVID-19 into their own hands. But questions are being raised about whether the government is actively engaging with Māori on a specific pandemic plan for them. Our Māori News correspondent Lee Marama McLaughlin reports.
At the top of the East Cape, Tina Ngata and her whānau are isolating at home, a safeguard for her daughters, whose immune systems are compromised. But she says the relevant information for her whānau is scant.
Our information that's out there about what it means to be immunocompromised could be better. I don't know that many whānau realise that applies to the vast majority of Māori who would have asthma or respiratory disease or diabetes issues.
Ms Ngata says healthcare is limited on the Cape and many whānau don't have the internet to get information. If COVID-19 rips through the area, she fears it could devastate the high Māori population and no one would know what to do.
I have to say that I haven't seen anything targeted for Māori myself, given the susceptibility and the vulnerability of our communities. I don't think that the government is considering who is most vulnerable here and tailoring their response accordingly.
The chair of Ngāti Ruanui in Taranaki and Māori Party candidate Debbie Ngāti Wepeka agrees. Their iwi health organisation is taking action to support local whānau, but she says the government is leaving them out.
No matter which way you look, we are extremely vulnerable. There's been, no connect, no reaching out, no phone call. They seem to have all lost their number. There's been no way that they've been able to share with us not only what their plan is, how what we're doing on the ground fits in with what they're doing, how we work together.
A spokesman for the Iwi Chairs Forum, Mike Smith, says it's not good enough and there's growing unease that the government hasn't got a pandemic response tailored to Māori. So the Iwi Forum has launched its own Māori response plan.
Some of our iwi have huge capacity to respond to these types of problems, but that needs to be coordinated with the government's efforts. And so far, there's been a bit of a deafening silence from the Crown, and they're not engaging with the iwi sector as of yet.
But the Ministry of Health's Deputy Director General of Māori, John Whanga, rejects that. He says he's working with Māori providers and health experts and iwi such as Waikato Tainui. Mr Whanga says there's a Māori reference group and he's looking into their Māori resources and phone health services for Māori.
So what my group is doing is looking across those to say where do we need to make sure we've got strong strategies and a strong focus for Māori. So it will be specific things that we're doing that recognise the unique circumstances of Māori, but they'll also be tied into what we're doing more generally to keep New Zealanders safe and well.
Mr Whanga concedes the ministry could improve its communication with iwi providers, but he says the situation is ever-changing. An announcement on the government's Māori response is expected next week. Kōli Marama McLaughlin tēnei.
Kei te whakarongo mai koe ki te Waonui a te Manu Kōrehi. You're listening to Te Waonui, a wrap-up of the week's Māori news on RNZ National.
In other news into Ao Māori this week, Māori justice advocates are seeking an urgent Waitangi Tribunal hearing on the police armed response teams. Special police vehicles carrying armed officers have been patrolling counties Manukau, Waikato and Canterbury as part of a six-month trial to cut down response times to serious incidents involving firearms. The application says the Crown has breached Te Tiriti o Waitangi by failing to work in partnership with, consult or even inform Māori about the trial. Julia Faipoti told Philippa Tolley on Morning Report she's concerned more Māori will get shot by the armed response teams.
Before the armed response teams to pull a gun on a Māori than non-Māori, 10 times more likely taser, 11 times more likely pepper spray. Now we're going to put guns in their hands. For me, and statistically that says now we're putting lethal weapons in the hands of police when we know that they use them mostly against Māori communities. That's really hoo-ha, and actually, and it tells me that we're putting racist policies into systemic practice of police. Knowing that, it tells me that Māori lives don't matter.
There would be also those that argue, and we've seen in some of the unfortunate shooting incidents recently, that that is also Māori and Pacifica have been the victims, and we know also they are the highest number of victims. So you could also argue that this action is to try to make sure there's more safety for the community.
Well, I would ask who is the community, because the level of mistrust of policing by Māori is at its all-time low trust by Māori communities of policing. And so why would we arm a force that Māori don't trust? So it's not for our safety, because the people that don't trust police are Māori. That's something that, again, a decision that was made about us to happen to us without us.
Are you expecting to hear from government over your application?
We have actively engaged with police, myself and Sir Kim Workman, who are lodging this claim today. And it's quite clear for me that even within policing, there's disagreement about this, how this policy came about and the decision of this policy. So we are ready to actively engage. A bottom line is that the armed response teams need to stop, and they need to stop today.
That was Julia Faipoti talking to Philippa Tolley on Morning Report. And on the same kaupapa, a South Auckland-based Māori warden says some people feel safer with armed police response teams on the roads, despite controversy over the teams. Mediana Johnson reports.
Shootings in South Auckland are not uncommon, and neither are the special police vehicles routinely patrolling counties Manukau in case of gun violence. That's according to Otahuhu Māori Warden's Chair, Thomas Henry, who says it is frightening for locals.
Our elderly people, they're the ones that are feeling threatened in their communities and too frightened to speak out. You know, we don't want any of our elderly people to feel unsafe.
He says they feel safer knowing there are armed officers on the streets.
They're feeling, I suppose, safer for themselves, but they don't want to say that in a clear picture because not getting in, wanting to get involved with what's happening.
But down south, Ōtautahi Māori Warden Chair Jackie Te Wani doesn't share the same view.
You never want it to be reality, but it looks like it has become reality. I can honestly say I do not feel comfortable with it becoming a reality. When you use a rifle, there's no comeback. Once you're shot, once you're gone.
The armed response teams were introduced last October in response to the Christchurch mosque shooting, which left 51 people dead. Data released under the Official Information Act shows the teams were deployed 70 times a day in the first 5 weeks. That's 50 times the rate the Armed Offenders Squad were called out last year. The teams, armed with rifles and tasers, are designed to cut down response times to serious firearm incidents through preventative patrolling. But many Māori criticised the move, citing statistics that show Māori and Pacifica are 66% of those shot in the last 10 years. Claimant and justice advocate Julia Faipoti says Māori trust in police is at an all-time low.
Why would we arm a force that Māori don't trust? So it's not for our safety, because the people that don't trust police are Māori. So that's something that, again, a decision that was made about us to happen to us without us.
Ms. Faipoti says the Crown breached the treaty by failing to even inform, let alone consult Māori about bringing in the armed response teams. Ms. Te Wani agrees.
But there was a lot of work that should have been done tuatahi before we reach where we are now. Consult with our kaumātuas, talk on with iwi, hop on the marae, say that this is their plan, this is their idea of going forth. What do we think? How can we help?
The trial will finish up at the end of April. Komiriana Johnson, DNA.
And in a statement, the Police Māori Deputy Commissioner, Wally Homaha, says in the last 5 months of the pilot, no armed response teams have fired any shots. He says the communities, which ARTs are in, will be consulted before police decide whether to continue their deployment.
Back to Mate Urutā, or the pandemic. A Wairarapa iwi is rallying around its most vulnerable amid the threat of COVID-19, preparing food packs and other essentials for every kaumātua in their rohi. The country's elderly are most at risk of the virus, with many rest homes already placing restrictions on visitor numbers to keep them safe. Te Aniwa Hurihanganui reports.
Baked beans, corned beef, sweet corn. We thought about ones that are diabetic, so we've got some fruit jelly beans to help them through. Long life milk to help them. Tea, coffee, moist wipes, because hand sanitizers are very skim at the moment. Cans
staff
of tuna.
Staff at Te Runanga Orangi Tāne in Masterton have been busy preparing packs of food, which will be delivered to 48 kaumātua today. Masterton supermarkets have seen stocks fly off the shelves in the last week, but Roma Horawata from Rangitane says the local Pack and Save was willing to help out with a special bulk order.
You know, we decided to go to the duty manager there at Pack and Save and talk to them about what our kaupapa is. Their comments were, you know, we're pleased to assist because they're community orientated as well. So any way that they could help by making sure that we had the stock available is what they gave as far as their kōhā's concerned.
Each pack will also include an information sheet about the symptoms of COVID-19 and how to stop the spread of germs. It will be a welcome surprise for many kaumātua like Sally Tahana, who lives on her own. She says the virus is weighing heavily on her mind.
When I hear it on the news or read it in the local paper, and then I start thinking some of the aches and pains and things that I've got, and wonder if that's the symptoms of, you know, this virus. But it is frightening. Well, for me, it's frightening.
She says it's been difficult not being able to hug and kiss her mokopuna.
When they come, they just naturally, you know, you want to give them a kiss. And I say, come on. And then they, oh, we're not allowed to. It's a bit hard because, you know, for Māoris, when you see one another, you just naturally give them a hug and, you know.
Rangitane or Wairarapa has invited DHB staff to speak to kaumātua at a hui today about how they can prepare themselves. Rangitane cultural advisor Mike Kawana has assured those attending safety recommendations from the Ministry of Health will be followed, and the focus will be on making sure they are well informed.
So we're bringing in some health professionals to talk to them. No doubt they'll have a lot of questions. We've also decided to use that time to talk a little bit about why we're not doing hongi and hariru and the importance of us trying to stay to that kaupapa.
Kaumātua Frances Reidy-Smith says not being able to hongi is the least of her concerns.
My huge concern is my brother who's in Australia. He's bedridden. If we go across to his tangi, we won't even get to it because we'll have 2 weeks lockdown.
And if there's a lockdown here, Ms Reidy-Smith says she has a plan.
Our survival of all this is going to be self-sufficient, hapu-sufficient, iwi-sufficient. Self-sufficiency is an absolute. I got a little pot at the back, but hey, doing your marakai and getting out there and anything else that we can.
Rangitāne or Wairarapa has also recommended to all the local marae they not offer their facilities for quarantine purposes. Ko te aniwa, hurihanga nui, aho.
And that brings us to the end of Te Wao Nui for this week. And amid this pandemic, mai mahara whānau, remember to keep you and your whānau healthy by washing your hands for 20 seconds, sneezing and coughing into your elbow, and keeping hands sanitised, and of course social distancing.
And if you kupu o te wā, i roriki, bacteria. Mani, how would you use this kupu?
Maybe a little bit abrupt, but I would say, oi, keep your iroriki away from me.
Other kupu hou, mare mare, cough, matihi, sneeze.
And using mare mare in a sentence, you could say, kai we e mare mare pera, don't cough like that.
Aira, don't cough into your hands e te whānau, cough into your elbow. And of course the kupu Māori for coronavirus, hua kito corona and mate corona.
Thanks for joining us this week. Kei tō mātou whārangi i purangi, tō mātou purungo hei kimi mau. Kei raro i te tapanga, te ao Māori. You can find all of our stories on our website, rnz.co.nz, under Te Ao Māori. Noho ora mai whānau, tēnā koutou katoa.
Look after yourself and your whānau e hoa mā. Tia kina tau ake.